various artists.
So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Throw is an exhibition of new paintings by Philip Kelly at Charles Nino Gallery. Showing a continuation of Kelly's long-time turntable painting series, this new body of work shows a shift in Kelly's process by replacing the record player as a mode of making with the electric potter's wheel. These abstract images are bright explorations of form and colour through a process of applying, removing, and manipulating paint on a rotating surface to form works that are almost rhythmic and musical in nature, speaking to the exploration of the interrelationship between music and art, which drives much of Kelly's artistic practice. I had a corridor with Philip Kelly about the show and these themes.
In this context, I'm an artist, a visual artist, but I also work as a graphic designer, and I've been involved in music, and all of those three kind of disciplines converge, and you'll see that quite a bit in the work, in my artwork. The show of paintings that I'm putting up at Charles Nino's are new oil paintings, and they're painted with the assistance of a machine, and that machine is a potting wheel.
Definitely want to pull out some of those different kind of elements of that as we talk today, but I wanted to start by asking about Throw and the continuation of a series in your practice, this collection of turntable paintings. You've been making, adapting, and developing the series since 2019. Tell me a bit about how this form of making came about.
Well, it actually goes back further.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to me going to Elam and doing my master's.
Oh, wow.
I'd been, you know, tooling around in the background, making my own work in a very, you know, like on the side of my design work, which is what I do for a living mostly. But I had made really early drawings using a turntable, actually pen and ink drawings.
Oh.
And I was drawing onto old book plates.
Oh.
So the drawings ended up looking, the idea was that they were kind of analogous to playable postcards, picture postcards that have, I don't know if you've ever seen them, I think you can still actually get them manufactured somewhere in the States.
Oh, yeah.
But they, it'd be a postcard with an image and then a plastic film on top with grooves in it. So.
Oh.
And they were kind of made for like you'd go into a recording booth, and you'd record a message and send it to your loved one or whatever.
Mm.
So I did a series of drawings like that probably about 10 years ago.
Oh.
And then when I went to Elam in 1920, sorry, lockdown brain, I sort of took it up again, but in a more concentrated way, and started doing watercolors first. So using the turntable was a kind of the platter to rotate the drawing, the paper,
yeah,
and then working and moving and shifting, so you could build up layers in a kind of an illusion of depth, yeah, and also erasing. So it's not just putting down; it's actually taking away, because of course the watercolor pigment lifts really easily. So I'd lay it down and then I'd erase and then go back and forth like that. So I started doing it in a concentrated way in 2019, and I showed some of those in about 21 or so. Showed the watercolour turntable drawings, paintings a couple of times, but these new ones are done in oil, so it's quite, you know, the viscosity and the physicality is really different. And in doing that, I got a stronger machine because I bust a few turntables.
Eek!
You know, and it's like, you know, I don't really want to wreck another turntable. It's a bit spendy,
yeah.
Even the second-hand ones. So I bought a potter's wheel, and it's really robust.
Mm.
You know, it's much more powerful, the engine, the motor in it. And also the speed variance is really huge.
Mm.
So yeah, there's a lot more, you know, give and take, I guess.
Yeah. Totally. I'd love to see some of those like earlier drawings you were talking about, and those postcards. I'm going to hunt you down on that.
Okay, yeah, I'll get them out.
Because I'd love to see how that's kind of developed over time. That would be really cool. And when you were like saying the postcards, that sounds really sick as well. I was thinking like a spirograph. Was it that's what they're called?
Spirographs, yeah, they were a thing in, in the 70s maybe? I don't know when spirographs first appeared. I'm thinking about my childhood in the 70s perhaps.
Yeah.
So certainly I was aware of spirographs, and friends probably had them in the mid-70s even.
Yeah.
But they could be much older, you know, they probably invented in America, you know, in the, could be the 50s, who knows, I don't really know.
It kind of just reminds me of that kind of idea.
It does have that quality in some ways. Yeah, it's interesting, the kind of the mechanical aspect of it.
Yeah.
And the way it relates to kind of craft, I guess. You know, the potter's wheel, you know, I was talking to Charles about this, and, you know, he was quite... He's really interested in the idea that it relates to the sort of studio potters movement here, which of course is having, not that it went away, but I think the way it dovetails into contemporary art practice. You know, a lot of artists who aren't strictly ceramicists are, you know, going down to Driving Creek and, you know, doing the residency there and stuff. So, you know, we're seeing a real resurgence of ceramics in kind of contemporary art space. So in a way, these are kind of very obliquely related to that.
Yeah.
You know, but not directly, of course.
Yeah, like, yeah.
For me, it really comes out of my engagement with music culture.
Right.
And, you know, like, so audio artifacts, whether that be records, record sleeves and so forth too, you know. Yeah.
I did want to come back to this kind of replacement of using the record player for making and then now using the electric potter's wheel. Although the works are not intended to represent any one idea or thing, there is a strong intersection in this series and in your practice overall between music and art.
Yeah.
How have you kind of maintained or transformed this intersection after replacing the record player in your making process?
That's a good question. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because on one hand, I could be making them on a turntable. It's just really a fiscal thing. A decent turntable is going to cost, you know, $700 to $1,200, and I don't really want to spoil another one of those. And the potting wheel I bought online for, like, you know, brand new, like $400.
Mm.
So it's kind of, you know, and it's really grunty, you know, it's really robust. So on a kind of conceptual level, perhaps there's a shift because of the machine or the mechanism.
Mm.
If you use the machine as a kind of metaphor for aspects of the practice or whatever, but in my mind, the works just kind of continue, and the machine an underlying aid, but the works themselves are still exploring circular motion processes, you know, the way that it does relates back to DJing, you know, and the way that the paintings kind of have grooves cut in them and so forth too. I mean, even the title, throw, obviously, you know, the idea that you throw a pot on a wheel, so the idea that you'd throw a painting is kind of interesting as a gesture, you know, as a gestural thing. But also there's a great tune by Detroit techno artist called Carl Craig called Throw as well. And in that song, I don't even know if it was him doing a falsetto. It's kind of, it sounds sort of ironic. It's like, throw your hands in the air, you know, like kind of almost, you know, like kind of fab rave up, you know, expression of you know, being in the dance or whatever. But what's interesting about that as a reference and that music for me is always the idea and especially in the best stuff, like the stuff that, you know, that originates out of Detroit, where there's that interface between kind of the body, you know, and the machine and the outcomes of that. And what's great about that, especially from there, is that the work's simultaneously warm and cold, you know, and so it's like that reconciliation of the man-machine thing, you know, that reconciliation of opposites and how we live in a technologically dense society, I guess.
You kind of spoke on it earlier, but Charles has kind of made this connection between the history of ceramics and your use in Aotearoa. To you, what is the significance of using the pottery wheel with paint in a way that diverges from how it is conventionally used for ceramics?
The first thought about that is kind of the DIY thing, you know, taking a machine and using it for the purpose that it was, you know, not for its intended purpose. So there's that, the kind of custom craft aspect of that, or custom culture aspect of that, that I think is really interesting. In the same way, it's a bit like, again, always musical analogies, right? But like music concrete, you know, where found sounds were brought in to generate the audio from which compositions were built, whether it's like, you know, in pre-digitally, you know, by cutting and pasting, cutting and retaping audio tapes together and so forth. So that idea of taking a source material or source mechanism and shifting the context of its use is interesting, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And the works have been described as a meta image of sorts, whereby they act as a motion and standstill, reflecting practices in experimental photography and comparisons to art and culture, kind of giving aesthetic form to movement. Can you expand on these interpretations and how these analogies come together in a single work or this body of work as a whole?
Sure. I mean, that's Charles's reading too. Yeah. So he brings his art historical references into play in that regard. I mean, for me, because they're non-objective works, right? They're quote unquote abstract paintings, right? I mean, I think of them as objects as much as kind of painterly surfaces, for one thing. But the idea that they evoke, you know, certain kinds of optical phenomena is kind of clear, I think. You know, I mean, I look at them and I go, yeah, you know, that one does look like, you know, there's the sense of sort of lens flare. And again, so again, it kind of loops back into the notion of the world of images seen through technological processes. So maybe that's a way of answering the question.
For sure. And your earlier dub painting series is stylistically a lot more formal than this new body of work. Those works seem to adhere to kind of specific rules and patterns. It's looking at kind of like a grid.
Yep.
Can you tell me how you've moved from these works through much looser series such as Soft Companions that you exhibited at Castri Gallery in Kororareka, for example, and now this new body of work?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a, you know, in terms of what's to be seen, there's, I guess, a freeing up. You know, gesturally, they're more free than the dub paintings were, which were very kind of geometric. And that was sort of based in the idea of kind of lo-fi images, you know, like pixelation. And also my relationship to the reproduction of artwork as a designer and working in that field as well. Whereas, of course, what you see in these new paintings is, it's also the idea that oil was like, you know, Simon Ingram, the artist who supervised me in my master's, described it to me recently in a message as, oh, you're working with the thick stuff, you know, which is really nice. It's kind of plain talk, but it says a lot. And I think there's that idea that people, even if they don't consciously think of it, they understand the idea that oil is, you know, it's kind of the high watermark of painting or whatever, and it has this kind of deep history. And, you know, as a material, you know, the grinding of pigments and putting it in linseed oil to make this really thick, viscous, kind of very bodily kind of mass is something that people relate to in a bodily way too, right? There's a kind of viscerality to it and a lusciousness that people just, I think, feel for it, you know, it draws them in. And so it's really interesting to sort of test that materiality and see what happens with it, you know, for me. But in terms of the, and also because oil is such a mercurial medium, the opportunity or the possibility of the loss of control, maybe it's just more evident in the outcomes than it is in the watercolours. Because, you know, again, you think of watercolour as, you know, kind of serene and delicate, and which it is and can be, but not necessarily, depending on the content, right? But in a physical sense, it's a very serene, very flat, very delicate thing, whereas there's a kind of muscularity or a kind of an embodied kind of quality to oil that's really different. And so the one's control over that seems to look like there's less control, to me at least, or maybe that's just me projecting my kind of learning as I go into this, you know, go into the works. The only other aspects that are just, I guess, kind of the literal things is, or about process, is that, you know, all I'm doing is setting up kind of preconditions to make something. And I do see it as analogous to a performance, like a musical performance, and the recording of it. So, you know, I've got the parameters of the size of the canvas. I'll choose a colour for the gesso ground, and then I'll choose the colour for the top. Most of them are monochromatic. There's a few where I'm mixing two tones and letting that bleed as you work it through. But those are kind of the preconditions. And then once once I turn the wheel on and it starts going, I just work until it's finished. So back to one of the things that Charles has said about, it's about a durational process, I guess, right? So that, just that idea, it's like this, like you'd make a recording, you press the red button, and then when you're finished, it's over, and that's the artifact, right? Mm. Yeah, the audio artifact or the painterly artifact or whatever.
If you were to place a song to this exhibition, what should I play?
Maybe you should play Throw by Carl Craig.
I was going to but I'm like just checking.
It's pretty bumpy.
Okay.
It's bumping, as in it's...
Yeah.
It's a club cut, you know?
Yeah. Fun.
It's a DJ tool, as they would say, you know, or a weapon or whatever, you know, like all those kind of metaphors. But yeah, it's a bumping club track from, I don't know when he did Throw, late 90s, early 2000s? It's a while ago.
Cool.
But yeah.
Okay, if I have time, I'm going to play it. Or maybe I like play it underneath towards the end or something.
Yeah, dig it up and see what you think. Yeah.
That was artist Philip Kelly speaking to me about his show Throw, opening tonight from 6 till 8 p.m. at Charles Nino Gallery. The show is then on until the 16th of August. This is Throw by Paperclip People.